Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Dickerson, Colony, Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Jesse Marshall of The Athletic will join us at 8 a.m. Neil Walker, 8:35. And Dan Zangrilli from 9 to 10. Call now to win two tickets to see Brett Michaels and Chris Jansen at the Pavilion at Starlake on Saturday, July 13th. Call now. What number, Callis? Number three. Caller number three. You win the tickets. Caller number three, Chris Jansen, Brett Michaels, Pavilion, Starlake, July 13th. Caller number three. You get those tickets. How about that?
That's an interesting pairing.
I know.
Is Brett Michaels, he's not going country, is he? Because Chris Jansen's a country guy.
I didn't even know who Chris Jansen was. I knew who Brett Michaels was because he likes the Steelers.
Yeah.
That's the only. What's one of his biggest songs?
Chris Jansen?
Brett Michaels.
He was in Poison, right?
Oh.
Am I right? I mean, I don't know. This is no, wait, he's not, I know.
He's 25, and I have no idea.
He's from Butler. I wasn't like an 80s. He was in one of the metal bands,
That's what I thought.
But I honestly don't know. No, people are going to be mad at us. I did not log on to the text line because I can't get onto this computer. I've got my own laptop. So the texters are probably going crazy. And so you guys are a couple of idiots. You don't know what Brett Michaels was in. I was thinking it was Poison, but I could be wrong. Yeah, wrong. But Chris Jansen's he's a country singer.
Well, that should be interesting. Oh, I thought Callis was actually giving some information. No, he's not.
Electric show.
How about what you said before? No Kenny Pickett, no Mitch Trubisky, no Mason Rudolph. You have Justin Fields, you have Russell Wilson, and oh man, who was the one guy that they signed in the offseason? He was a veteran quarterback, number three.
Isn't he an Allen? One of the
Allens? Yes. He is an Allen. I forget. It doesn't matter. He'll be cut at some point.
No, he's going to make the team.
You think?
Yeah, he's the third guy. They always keep three guys.
I think he might get beat up by somebody.
I've never really understood that, by the way. The way the rules work now with the expanded practice squads, you just stash a guy in the practice squad. I know there are some rules about how you can, they have to go through in order to act, whatever. But I would think that you'd stash that third arm on a practice squad.
I think you're allowed to carry three quarterbacks now because of the whole quarterback rule of if two quarterbacks get hurt.
So it's an extra guy that doesn't count.
It doesn't
necessarily
count, yeah. I think.
Well, that would make. I mean, I could go off on all sorts of tangents here, but I heard you talking about this, like as a consumer, that you, hey, if it eventually goes to 20 games, you're okay with that because you like watching football.
Yes,
but that's because you're not playing it anymore.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Because it just the money that they pay, it's I don't know if it's the law of diminishing returns, whatever it is. The investment that they make not just quarterbacks, but other players at skill positions. And the more games you play, the greater the chances are that your top earners are going to get hurt.
Right.
Your best players are going to get hurt. I would want to go back to 16 games because it's nice and neat. There's 32, yes. 32 teams. Everything works out really well. Now you've got that extra game. And then pretty soon there's going to be, two extra games. And then it's going to be, like you said, maybe it'll get up to 20 at some point. But then by the end of the season, how many quarterbacks will have made it all the way through the season?
I mean,
how many?
Less than half.
Like a handful.
Yeah, there's 15 quarterbacks that were injured. 15 starting quarterbacks, I think, at one point last year that were injured. And one in the middle of the season.
And plus, I think also there's such an investment made in these guys that if they get banged up to any degree where there's a chance of further injury, then you're going to not take a chance and maybe not play them. They're going to miss a game just for safety's sake. But they don't care about safety. They just care about money.
Mm-hmm.
And the players just keep on going along with it. I'm guessing it'll get to 18 games within a couple of years.
No doubt.
And then I don't know. I just don't need that much football. Those are the games that I still watched. I didn't stay up to watch the Penguins. I don't stay up to watch the Pirates unless Skeens is pitching. And I don't go out of my way to watch sports anymore. But the NFL is pretty easy. And when your team plays and the Steelers play, I'll watch them. And it's just once a week. In the fall when it's a nice day and they're on the road, I'll probably record the game, go to the golf course, not pay attention, come home, and then watch the game in like 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. The NFL just knows that it's supply and demand like type deal. I mean, if you could put a game on Wednesday, you know that people are going to watch because there's nothing else going on a Wednesday, and they like to make money. And now with the streaming services, it's, you know, it's probably a part of the deal is that like we want this day.
Everybody wants a piece of the action because of how big the action is.
Right.
How much did it take out of you when you had to play the Sunday, Thursday? Because if you're, and this is like life imitating art to a degree. There's an old school movie from 45 years ago called North Dallas 40.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a book by Peter Gentz, who was a receiver for the Cowboys. So he was like a real player. But you watch the opening scene of that movie, and Nick Nolte plays the receiver, and he wakes up in bed. He can hardly move, and he's reliving the plays in the game where he's getting the crap beat out of him by the likes of, you know, guys like Mel Blunt, who can do that back in the day. And he's moving around in the thing and in the bed, and he's creaking, and then he'll relive a play where he gets slammed upside the head, you know, and then he gets hammered again, and then he starts creaking around, lights up a joint, starts walking around to really, and this is, you know, this is like the late 70s, and this is just waking up after on a Monday morning after his game on Sunday, and then you guys did that, and then like 2 days later you got a date. What was it like Monday? You kind of went in and watched stuff.
Yep.
And then Tuesday you did nothing, and you're still hurting and you're still recovering. And then yes. Wednesday it's the day before a game and you have to get ready to play a game.
So basically it's just walk through.
And
the
everybody
whole time.
Has to do that at least once. The Steelers are doing that this year twice.
Twice.
Except once they do have the weekend off before the Thursday. But nonetheless, it seems to me you're killing the golden goose here.
Yes.
That's what it seems
for,
like
for money. And it's like, you know, we want to serve the fans. We want to serve more football. The season's just so long. Like, you know, it's different now, but you know, whenever I was playing Thursday night games, I mean, we had four preseason games, and sometimes you had five whenever you're playing in the Hall of Fame game. You had a month of training camp. You're beating each other up. And you figure the old CBA, my first year when I got drafted, was the old CBA where there wasn't any rules. You could have two-a-days. And you can be full pads. Like, now you can't have two-a-days. You can't be in full pads throughout the whole season.
You kids today don't have
it. I mean, think about it, Jim. I mean, I'm old now.
But it's true.
It's a long season, and it's tough.
I know. If you talk to Jack Ham, and I've heard him talk about this. And I remember, again, this is old guy stuff, but they played, there were 14 regular season games. There were six preseason games.
Oh.
Six. So in 1979... the Steelers as the NBA or the NBA, the NFL champions, they played the college all-stars. So think about that for
a minute. Wait, say that again?
There used to be a game between college all-stars and the defending NFL champion. There used to be a game like that. You can look it up. And if you can imagine nowadays that, okay, so you're coming out of Pitt. You've already signed a contract with what was it, Houston?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you're already under contract. They've already made an investment into you. And then whoever the quarterback would have been, there's like, you know, two or three quarterbacks, and then there's everybody at every other position, all Americans, all over the place. First, second, third, whatever round draft picks. And they're practicing, and they're going to play a game against the NFL champions.
What?
That happened. But from the Steelers' standpoint, that was their seventh preseason game. So they play.
Yeah, because they won.
You,
yeah.
You play the college all stars, and then you get six exhibition games, and then you've got 14 regular season games. There's your 20 games, that's crazy. That's how long training camp used to be with all the. Think about that now. It's just nuts. And well, you remember when you would have been, not just, you know, you still would have been in college when Mike Tomlin first got hired.
Yep.
And his training camp was, by standards, was rough. And the guys, you know, the veterans on the team, probably Casey Hampton, I'm sure he was among the ringleaders. I can't really remember. But they had to go to Mike Tomlin and say, hey,
yeah,
you know,
we need to.
And you saw that what happened this first season, that they kind of ran out of gas at the end. And he was treating it like, you know, I'm the new guy here and I have to show who's boss. And then he learned the next year they end up winning the Super Bowl. But obviously everything is so much different. But I just don't understand why you need to play more games. People are going to watch. I don't know. There's a way to make it so that you still make the money, but you don't endanger your product,
because
that's what they're doing. And then from your standpoint, when you said like they're doing it for the money, Well, so are the players, because the players, your career was how many years?
Six,
which is more than twice as long, right? As I don't know what the average is nowadays, but I thought it was like three or just under or just over. So you had a career twice as long as most people, and yet it wasn't that long. And so you've got to get what you can get while mm-hmm. you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, why the players, right? Isn't that why you guys would go along with that stuff? Because you're going to get compensated for it, even though it could come back to haunt you.
Well, I mean, they're looking at it like this. We're paying you a lot of money. And, you know, I mean, backup tight ends now are making millions of dollars. Like, I mean, backup tight ends 10, 15 years ago.
You're not even 40 years old yet. Now you're looking at these kids today.
I mean, the NFL's looking at it. We're paying you a handsome price. You're going to do what we say. And if we can sell more, we can sell our product more and our brand more, we're going to do that at the expense of you because you're getting paid a lot of money.
And it's not like people like you and I are going to say, well, I'm just not going to watch now.
Right. We're going to watch and consume. I mean, it makes our job easier. It makes, you know, my life easier. If I come here on a Wednesday, whenever it's like, okay, you know, Russell Wilson had a bad game. We already went through that on Monday. We did the whole, the Steelers lost. Okay. Tuesday, it's kind of like, all right, like, are we going to get back out of that recap? Okay. Wednesday comes around, there's a game. Oh, look, an AFC opponent, the Cleveland Browns are playing so-and-so. Now we have something else to talk about to roll us into the weekend with the Steelers.
I am not unhappy that I don't have to do that on a regular basis because it becomes the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And even the discussion that you had teased we were going to have that we haven't had it yet is that even encountering people just out and about in my mundane existence and certainly as a starter at a golf course and people recognize me and stuff and obviously, they would start asking about what happened with Kenny Pickett. Russell Wilson, what do you think of Justin Fields? What do you think of that? What do you think of that? And so it's still like living a sports talk existence. But after a while, it's become, I mean, how much more can you talk about this stuff? And you know, it's just, it's not like you become sick of it because people actually want to hear it, I guess. And some people do, some people don't. Not everybody listens 24/7.
Right.
So it's, you know, the Steelers are always going to be topic A in Pittsburgh and the quarterback, especially when the situation is. But in a nutshell, I don't know if Mike Tomlin has ever known how to handle a quarterback. He was handed a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
And not that Ben was easy to deal with, because I'm sure he wasn't. But he pretty much took care of himself because he could. He was even at that point, he was a veteran. You didn't have to worry about that position in terms of what you were going to get. You knew what you were going to get. You were going to get one of the best QBs in the league. And now all of a sudden, when he's gone, they haven't been able to figure it out over the last few years.
That's a great point you bring up, and I'd like to roll into the next point with what you just said about Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say when they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
I just pointed.
I do want to get into that because I think that there's a point there that you made that could be happening right now. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Jimmy, you were talking about maybe an extended season in the NFL last segment and, you know, how you got to protect your investment and keeping guys healthy and will guys be healthy at the end of the season. That's such a long season. We went through the gamut of, like, you know, just talking about the preseason games back in the day to now. And it is a question that is, are guys going to be healthy, the guys that you want to see be healthy towards the end of the season of a long 20-game season? That is a big question. And that injury report is brought to you by Shendorovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. You brought up a good point about Mike Tomlin before, too, Jim, about how he possibly isn't used to working with a non-experienced quarterback and especially a young quarterback because he had been for all those years. He had a Hall of Fame quarterback underneath his belt. Jim, he does potentially have a Hall of Fame quarterback right now. So does that change your thought process? Russell Wilson is a guy, I mean, he won a Super Bowl, went to another Super Bowl. He probably will be a borderline Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Does this change your thought process of how Mike Tomlin will be able to handle the quarterback position this year?
Not really. Although he did bring in a guy that has some experience as a coordinator and a head coach. But I don't mean because Ben Roethlisberger couldn't have been easy to coach. But at the same time, is that he was a guy that it was his offense, and even though quarterbacks, it's not like, you know, drawing up plays in the dirt unless you're Peyton Manning. nonetheless, that he had the experience and he could pretty much do whatever he wanted, which he proved when Randy Feitner got hired as offensive coordinator. And then, but what happened since, and I still think that Ben stayed around 1 year too long, if he hadn't come back for that year, then they would have been forced to see what they had in Mason Rudolph, which I still think is better than what he had a chance to show when all that, everybody knows what happened in 2019. And I don't think, it wasn't like he wasn't given a chance. Yes, he was given a chance, but it was under circumstances where he was concussed a couple times, really, when you think about it. But anyway, I still think Rudolph could have been okay. I don't know if we'll ever get to see that now that he's with Tennessee, but with Russell Wilson, and we can't do anything about that stuff anyway, but okay, if this was Russell Wilson from 10 years ago, all righty, you know, now we're talking, but it's quarterbacks can play. Well, Ben played for a while. A lot of those guys played until they were older. And so he has a chance to be really good, but you've got a new coordinator. You've got a lot of new receivers who have little experience in the NFL, and even Pickens has little experience in the NFL, as talented as he is. But unless they trade for somebody, which I don't think is going to happen, if it is, it's not going to be one of those big ticket guys that everybody had, you know, said, "Oh, let's bring in Ayuk, let's bring in Samuel, let's bring," you know, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, the quarterback should be better than what we had last year, should be. But that phrase "should be," "supposed to," those phrases, right. There are a lot of things that should be or are supposed to. Penguins are supposed to have a really good power play. Penguins should have a good power. Well, they didn't.
Right.
It was terrible. And so we really don't know what we're going to get. And a lot of that has to do with how they can work together, with meaning Wilson, Arthur Smith, and maybe to a lesser degree Justin Fields, because he's kind of hanging around too. But I don't think he's a, you know, it's going to be Wilson's show.
Yes.
Unless something happens to him, which at an advanced age and with all the games and with all the injuries, we'll probably end up seeing both of those guys.
Do you think that if something does happen, that Wilson and Fields is the guy, that he can be the guy? Like, from just knowing him from Chicago?
I don't know. I do know that Mike Tomlin was always infatuated with
Yes.
him. And because all you just go back and take any of the, when he, you know, he does that rundown of every player on the opposing team every week. When he did that with Justin Fields, you could see how enamored he was with him and with other quarterbacks like that, where his eyes almost light up when he talks about the respect that he has for dual threat quarterbacks. And Wilson at one point was more of a passer than a runner, but he was, you know, to a lesser degree, a little bit of a dual threat quarterback. But, you know, Tomlin needs to take a hands-off approach, basically. Maybe he should have been more hands-on with the quarterbacks the last couple of years, but Arthur Smith is going to be given the – he's going to be, you know, here you go. It's your offense. This is what we're going to do. And so I think a lot of it has to do with him, how the quarterback's going to work with the coordinator, how everybody's going to work together. And the defense, if it stays healthy, there should be enough to keep them in games. But the game's different now. So you need to outscore people. I always know you had to outscore people. You know what I'm
but
talking
about.
You need to outscore people in the 20s and 30s.
You need to outscore Cincinnati because Joe Burrow's coming back. You need to outscore the Ravens because now that they have Derrick Henry. I mean, if you look around the AFC, if the Steelers get their stuff together in-house and say that they're all on the same page, they still have a battle to fight outside of the Steelers organization, which is the other teams that they're going to have to go against.
Well, you guys probably did the win-loss thing way too early, you know, soon as the schedule comes out. I think I had them something like 10-1 or 9-2 at the beginning of the season. And then all of a sudden, they could go 0-6 down the stretch based on the schedule that they have. The divisional games that they have, which are usually 50-50 propositions, and for whatever reason, Lamar Jackson doesn't seem to do well against the Steelers. Who do they have? Kansas City and Philly are the other games that are not AFC North games at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Crazy.
You know, that's. I mean, it's going to be fun from a fan standpoint, but it kind of has it set up for, like, what was the year where they were undefeated? It was a pandemic year where they were undefeated, and then all of a sudden, well, things didn't go so well down the stretch.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, that it's almost set up for Hard Knocks, because they're going to be on Hard Knocks. And don't you think that they did that on purpose, though? I mean, the Steelers were like, okay, like, you know, we have a back end of the season. We don't play a divisional opponent until November 21st or something. And then we have the Eagles. We have the Chiefs on Christmas. I think that was all set up for Hard Knocks.
Well, the other three teams are involved in Hard Knocks as well. And I think they all have to play Kansas City.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, so I don't know if any of those other teams has a Chiefs game over the last couple months of the season. At least one of them probably does. And how fair is that, by the way, to the Chiefs if they have to play a bunch of AFC North? Because the AFC North is really good.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we want to complain about the Steelers, they didn't make the playoff. But that division is it's the best division in football. It really is. And it'll be fun at the end of the season as long as every team has a full complement of players or a reasonably full complement of players in order to play the games that are going to be crucial.
937 The Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents and coaches, send an email to us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 937 The Fan may make a stop at your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Coming up next, there's a couple other players I want to get Jim's thoughts about on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, a little under a month away until they report to training camp. It's crazy. It goes fast. We talked about that last week. When 4th of July comes around, as a former player, it's like, all right, like I want to have fun, but
it's like, oh, crap.
Exactly. It's like, I got to get ready. I got to get my bags packed and get my mind right. So we're getting closer and closer to football season as the days go on, and I want to ask Jim's thoughts about at least one player and what should transpire with them. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson, Colony, Cal is here on the Fan Morning Show. Coming up at 8 a.m., Jesse Marshall of The Athletic will break down the Pens draft, some trades, and NHL free agency starting today. Jim, we talked about Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson, how that could possibly look, and you know what this offense might look like underneath Arthur Smith. But I want to get your thoughts on Cam Hayward. What should be done with Cam Hayward? What should they do? Do you think Cam Hayward should get his just due of getting a new contract? Do you think that Cam Hayward would explore playing somewhere else at some point?
I can't imagine that for some reason. I don't know. You know, I had probably a, you know, I mean, a good, you know, cordial relationship with him. I wasn't like real tight with him, and like maybe some of the linemen I knew pretty well, the offensive linemen. but no, Cam was always he was always approachable. He was always fun. He was always insightful. but I haven't been in the Steelers locker room really in 3 years. So I haven't really interacted with him lately. Probably since 2019, right? Because mm-hmm. 2020, there was no interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been a voice. He was always a go-to guy in the locker room because he's been around. He's just a really good guy, which is why I can't imagine him someplace else. He does. There is a playful nature to him as well that I can remember, and not that this is a playful situation, but I know I heard Caboli and some others talking about how it was kind of a joke about the whole issue of, yeah, maybe I'll play in Cleveland. That sounds like sort of a playful thing. But if he still thinks he can play and he wants to play, then maybe he will. From the Steelers' standpoint, when you use the phrase, should he get his due, he kind of already has.
Right.
He really has. He's mm-hmm. been paid very well, very fairly,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that he missed time last year at his age, that is a cause for concern. It's probably not worth it monetarily from a Steelers' standpoint to extend him for a lot of money. Now, if you could extend him, and I, you know, there are ways to work around it where you extend it and then you spread the money out and then you're not liable for as much and that sort of thing, and then you let him go at the end of the contract. If he says he's not going to do that, then okay, if he's not going to, then the Steelers really can't do that. I don't really think they can.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to imagine, though. It's always tough to imagine a team that you follow without certain players, and he's one of those. He's a franchise player.
Yes.
That's what he is. And yet, you know, guys that you thought would never leave, that you were used to being Steelers. I mean, Roethlisberger's one of them. And then, but you get any of those guys like Hamp and Kiesel and Aaron Smith and Faneca, you know, but Faneca did leave, didn't he? Went to the Jets. But it may happen. I don't think the Steelers can afford to do it for various reasons. Not the least of which, at some point, they're going to have to pay a quarterback.
Yeah.
past this season. This season, they're not really paying the quarterbacks.
Yeah, neither. $6 million, $7 million.
Neither of them. I mean, it's a lot of money.
I mean, not to.
You would have liked to have had that.
I would have loved to have that. But for like, no, I mean, for all three of them, basically,
yes.
You're getting that much money.
Yeah, and that's going to go away, and so they can't. They really can't afford to do it. I don't think it'll get messy because that's not what Cam is, and that's not what the Steelers are, or at least they haven't been. But I mean, maybe it could get ugly. I don't know. But if this is the last season that they have him, then you hope he stays healthy and you hope he's still the cornerstone that he can be for the defense.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jim, how do you think Omar Khan has done as a GM thus far?
I like the fact that they do stuff. And we all love Kevin Colbert. Still do. And a lot of it is the orders that you get from on high as well, is it what a general manager is allowed to do. And so I do like that they've been more aggressive in free agency. I think Andy Waddell's had a lot to do with that as well. And Omar still has the stigma, that's not the right word, but as being like the cap guy.
Yeah.
Being the financial guy, yeah. Somebody that doesn't. He knows personnel, maybe not like, but and Andy Waddell definitely is a personnel guy, and they got other guys, but I kind of like that they've been a little bit more modern, and I heard Omar with the PM team, what was it, a couple weeks ago, and the one thing that I think the Steelers, I kind of wish they'd do, is if things proceed in such a way that it makes sense to extend somebody during the season.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like to see them step into that realm, but I mean, what do you think as a player? How much if you're looking, you're in the last year of your deal, and then one of your teammates, not same position necessarily, but you know he gets his, and you still don't get yours, and it happens when the games count. How much of an effect does that have in a locker room?
Well, it depends.
Or does it depend on who the guy is?
It depends on who the guy is, I guess. I mean, I was just thinking of the Ayuk situation. I know that's not in season, but if I'm Ayuk, I'm irate. Like, I don't want to go back to San Francisco because you just paid Juwan Jennings, who was a receiver behind me. You paid Christian McCaffrey, and you drafted a first-round receiver. Like, if I'm Brandon Ayuk in that situation, I am very upset and I'm looking to be traded. Like, because you just don't value me at all. So if it was a guy during the season and whenever games counted and it was one of my teammates and I'm in the same realm of trying to be extended or get a new contract, I would try not to let that take over my focus, but I still would be aware that, okay, you chose to do that. Well, how do you really feel about me?
Well, just to mention him, and I don't think it's going to happen unless a couple of other things take place at the same kind of simultaneously. But at least now when you say, hey, should the Steelers look at whomever, a guy like Brandon Ayuk, and then you say, no, because the Steelers just don't do that.
Mm.
And that used to be true. And that's no longer true. The Steelers will do that. And so it's worth talking about. And it's basically exploring all possibilities. The thing with the offense is, with me, and this is like, and I did just look up some numbers, which actually supported this. So I had, when they said Arthur Smith runs a tight end friendly offense, I had freaking Kyle Pitts on my fantasy football team. And there wasn't a whole lot of tight end friendliness going on with Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Okay. So that's just, that's a layman's, kind of an oversimplification of it. But, you know, I'd have to see that, you know, can a running game be enough to carry a team now? I mean, maybe it's opposite of what everybody else is doing. So maybe it'll work. Be like when you guys were Pitt, you guys are running a pro offense. Everybody else is running spreads,
right? I mean, then you have two guys. You have two different guys too, who probably are one of the best tandems in the NFL,
right? And so they're doing things differently enough from everybody else that you become the team that's more difficult to prepare for in a lot of ways. So it's great. It's stepping into the unknown. That's fun,
mm-hmm.
You know, from our standpoint, mm-hmm. from mine, not so much anymore. If I'm a fan, I want the Steelers to win. They got to win. Maybe it's not as much fun for a fan like that, but from somebody in our business or your business or used to whatever, that makes it more fun, right? Because we don't know.
Never know what's going to happen.
That's the best thing.
Right.
The best thing about sports is it's the only reality show, the real reality show on TV.
Yeah.
Even the freaking news isn't real half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, I just sounded like somebody I can't stand. But anyway, but sports is reality. You don't know what's going to happen, and that's what makes it so compelling. And in the Steelers' instance, it's completely different, or at least it looks like it might be from what we've seen. We don't know what to expect, and that makes it fun.
Football coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. There was a situation. Wow, let me do the math in my head. 073, okay. About 17 years ago that both of us were in that you brought up whenever we were talking offline.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that next.
Yeah,
Let's talk about that next.
I do too. I think it's a good Dave Wants. I always like Dave, and I thought this is a really good example of a coach being a coach.
Ah, right on point here, Callis. The 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jim, before we get to your Wani story, Callis, do you know what day it is today? Do you know what anniversary it is today?
July 1st? No.
I'd forgotten about this. This is great.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Bobby Bonilla is set to collect $1.193 million from the New York Mets today, as he will each July 1st through the year 2035, which is $208,000 more than $985,000 base salary of Brock Purdy. $208,000.
Purdy get onto Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yes. They have a picture of Brock Purdy. Adam Schefter does right now of Brock Purdy, and that is $208,000. I keep saying it wrong. $208,000.
But in terms of what the Mets had to put in, I'm not a financial guy by any stretch, but it becomes basically well, whatever it is, it's a hell of a deal.
I mean, 2035.
And I wonder if he still has his place on the Manatee River. He probably does, because I went fishing. Remember going fishing during spring training one year, and we went by it.
When did he retire? Like, how long has this been going on? This had to be
2002.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Every year this comes around, I'm like, this is unbelievable. I mean, what a contract. Who was his agent? I forget. It wasn't Boris or anybody, was it? I don't know. But that's a great deal for him. $1.193 million for Bobby Bonilla.
2001, by the way. Sorry.
2001, yeah. Over 20 years, and he's still collecting, and he's going to collect for 11
more years. 35
years. Oh my goodness!
See, I think deferred payments too. They're more common in sports, so I give the Mets a little credit for that. You see a lot of deferred payments, but
like Ohtani,
it was so bad.
Ohtani's doing the same thing, right?
Even more so. Somebody locally probably already has it out there. Where would he rank on the Pirates payroll? Right? He'd probably be in the top half.
Top half, for sure. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Good for him.
I think he'd be seventh.
Seventh?
Of all player earnings? Because you got Telez ahead of him, Chapman.
Well, Reynolds, Hayes, and Keller.
Yes.
Reynolds, Hayes, Keller, so that's five.
And then the other guys.
Kutch.
Oh, yeah, Kutch.
Kutch would make a five, you're right.
Wow.
And then, I don't know, maybe the guys like, I don't know, Oliver, Taylor might be making a little bit more. And some of the pitchers, Bednar's not getting paid yet, is he?
No.
Holderman might be.
No,
none of those guys are? That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so anyway. Top 10. Yeah.
But, okay, so I wanted to get this. I'll be in tomorrow by myself. But I wanted to bring this up, Doran, with you because you're a member of this team. That one of the things that we say that coaches, and you would hear, you know, Chuck, any good coach would say that he's also a teacher, right? Coaches are you're a teacher. And one of the life lessons, or if I can call it that I thought it has always impressed me was, and Doran, you were a part of this. This is one of the one of the worst, but not as bad as the Cincinnati game. Under Wanstead, where you guys are playing at Louisville and the game was in the bag, and then all you had to do was, it was almost like in all the right moves where Rifleman just had to fall on the ball. Nickerson, you're just a typing teacher. But instead, you know, I want to get a touchdown, right? We're at Papa John Stadium, we get a touchdown, we're on the 1 yard line, whatever. And it turned out to be like the Bettis play, actually, but different. But Pat Bostic turns the hand off to Shady, and they got their signals mixed up. And I don't know who you charged the fumble to. They both took They both took the blame for it, which was good. They were both freshmen. They were both freshmen on that team. And so you guys, it's a sure victory. All you need to do is score. You guys are going to win the game. That's it. Well, you didn't. And then it was at Louisville, and I was there because the Steelers had a game in Cincinnati the following day. So I was working at a previous outlet. Ken Laird and I went down the night before and went to, you know, went to the Louisville game and then drove ahead to Cincinnati and covered the Steelers the next day. So we were there. At the time, FSN did local programming, and they did the same thing. They had a crew there at the game. But other than that, it was just us and then probably somebody from the Post-Gazette. I don't even think a columnist was there. Somebody from the Trib would have been there. And then maybe, you know, Pitt News, okay? And so it wasn't like a media gauntlet that they had to run on face. But one of the things that Dave Wanstead did was, and both of these guys were, they were new. I mean, I can't remember what day, what month it was, but you're probably about halfway through the season.
Yeah.
But these are like 18, 19-year-old kids. And they had just screwed up royally. And you don't know which one screwed up worse. They both did. And they both said, you know, they both took the blame for it and said, you know, or responsibility, I should say, for it. And but Dave had them talk to us. And again, this wasn't like a swarm of New York tabloid media people. It was just a half dozen of us. But I thought that was really instructive for him to have those guys come out and basically face us after a really bad situation, a game that should have been won that was lost. And I thought that was really good for their growth process for both of those guys, that they did that. And I don't know if he had to drag them kicking and screaming and EJ had to bring, you know, whatever. But it wasn't like, it wasn't a tough interview crowd, let me put it that way. And yet at the same time, I thought that was a really good thing to do for a maturing process for both of those guys. And look how well both of those guys turned out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the vivid thing that I remember from that game is, you know, Shady did wear that very hard. And no, I did not know that story that he had to talk to the media or Wanstead made him talk to the media or he agreed to. But all I do know is that he got on the airplane to go home and the bus to go to the airport in full uniform. Like, he still had his eye black. He didn't shower. He didn't take his pads off. He had his full pads on in his jersey because he wore that so hard. And you could think of whatever you want of Shady. Shady was his own individual, and sometimes rightfully so, because he's going to be a Hall of Famer in the NFL at some point. But that moment there as his teammate, I was like, okay, this guy's ride or die. You know, like, yeah. No matter what, like, we didn't even think twice about it. Like, that wasn't on him, that wasn't on Pat, but we knew that Shady would be there at the end of the day if we ever were in a tough situation because of how hard he took that situation.
And I thought both, and again, I don't know who was, maybe they said, hey, I want to go out and talk, but I doubt it. I doubt it. And so I'm going to credit Dave Wanstead with that. EJ Borghetti would know the story better than I do, obviously, because he was involved in it too. But I just thought from a growth process, from an educational process, and turning those guys, you know, you talk about when you go to college as a boy and you come out as a man, that's an example of how you do that. And I know that you can find, and a lot of people did, although they use this discipline thing as an excuse to get rid of them, but at least in my opinion. But I always thought that Dave, he got a bad rap in some instances for lack of discipline. And well, you played with some of these guys, and there was nothing you could do with a couple of them. But that's an example of where I think Dave did an excellent job of teaching, coaching, and you know, helping to turn boys into men. That's always stuck with me.
Yeah, and you know what? We were young boys at the time, and he treated us like men, but he also treated us like he was our father. So if there was a stigma out there that he, you know, with the discipline, it's because he actually cared and he knew that we were young and we knew, and he messed up too. He would always tell us that. He's like, I messed up back in the day. Like, I understand, like, you're going to do certain things, but we need to get you on the straightened path. And sometimes it took too long for guys to get on the straightened path. But all those things were very accurate with Dave Wanstead. Coming up next, Jesse Marshall of The Athletic. We're going to break down Penn's trades, draft, and free agency that starts today. The first Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 77, low of 54, clear weather. Tomorrow, high of 84, low of 56, also clear.